Coming up on KUCB News, the Raiders fall short in their run at the state title, and Penn Air's new planes face criticism around the region. Stay tuned.
Local news is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Monday, March 20th, 2017. Petersburg won the state basketball title over the weekend after the Raiders' bid to repeat as Class 2A champs ended in a semifinal loss. The Unalaska boys were knocked off by Metlakatla Friday night, 43-50. The Raiders then took on Unalakleet Saturday in the bronze medal match, but lost again by just 3 points. Despite the tough finish, Unalaska did earn several honors in the Anchorage competition. Junior Matthew Fausso was named to the all-tournament team, and the Raiders took home the sportsmanship award. Meanwhile, sophomore Trevor Wilson earned a spot on the first all-state team, and senior Carter Price was named to the second all-state squad. Regional carrier Penn Air is being criticized by residents in Bristol Bay due to delays and mechanical cancellations along the Anchorage route. KDLG's Lawrence Hamilton has the story.
Penn Air Vice President of Sales and Marketing Melissa Roberts says recent mechanical delays are on account of the company integrating a new series of airplanes, the Saab 2000s.
Brought our first one on in April, and then I think our second one came on in June. So they're just getting inundated into the system one by one. And they, too, are just sort of getting climatized.
Those Saabs are bigger and faster, but Robert says it can take a while to get them adjusted to the climate challenges that Alaska poses. The same problems existed 11 years ago when Penn Air brought on their Saab 340s.
Those aircraft need to be climatized to the moisture content, the elevation, the cold, the warm, the hot.
Penn Air says they are the first airline to register the Saab 2000 aircraft for commercial flights. Planes recently ushered into the Penn Air fleet have only up until now been used privately.
A couple of our aircraft actually came from some NASCAR companies that were only using them on a private basis just to travel to move their crews around. So one of the things that is taking us a bit is to realize, you know, the idiosyncrasies of each one of those aircraft, and they all have their own personalities.
Another criticism often leveled at Penn Air is the high cost of flights between Dillingham and Anchorage. Roberts believes the price offered to Dillingham customers is fair, and comparing the Alaskan market to elsewhere in the United States is apples and oranges.
You know, the climate of the community, labor costs can be completely different. Insurance costs, perhaps, can be different. Fuel costs are going to be completely different. And granted, the fuel has stayed level here, and it has been fairly decent in the last couple years, but that doesn't mean that it's exactly the same as it is in a destination market in the lower 48 that we operate in.
Roberts flatly denies that Penn Air overcharges Dillingham customers to service its expansion or to finance other routes.
Absolutely not. That's the farthest thing from our mind. We went out and spent $27 million in 2016. On investing new aircraft, which means the 2000. All of those 2000s are for the state of Alaska. They are not for any of our routes in the lower 48. So all of our investment came for Alaska.
The company is aware of the criticisms coming from its Bristol Bay customers. Robert says she understands people's complaints, but wants customers to know that it values Bristol Bay and hopes to continue working and being part of the community. In Dillingham, I'm Lawrence Hamilton.
So far in 2017, Penn Air has completed 88% of flights between Dillingham and Anchorage using the Saab 2000s. The new aircraft also serve Unalaska, and they've earned a slightly higher completion rate for flights between Anchorage and the island, about 90%. Both completion rates are below Penn Air's previous averages. Airline officials say they expect the rates to rise as mechanics become more comfortable with the new Saabs and after a fifth and final plane joins the fleet this spring. The White House has released an outline of President Trump's first budget. As expected, the document calls for cutting government programs to offset a big increase in defense spending. APRN's Liz Ruskin reports on what the budget would mean for Alaska if Congress chooses to adopt it.
The first thing Senator Lisa Murkowski wants you to know about Trump's budget is that Congress is not going to adopt it.
This is the president's request. It is not a budget that the Congress is going to enact.
That's the case every year. The Constitution gives Congress the national purse strings. Murkowski says she's been reminding her staff of that because alarmed Alaskans are already calling her office.
And there is plenty in this budget request to get very upset about, because these are priorities that for us in a high-cost, cold, remote state mean a lot.
The budget would eliminate essential air service and LIHEAP, low-income home energy assistance, two programs that send millions of dollars to Alaska each year. It would stop funding for the Denali Commission for Rural Infrastructure. Trump's budget would also defund an EPA program that last year provided $20 million to build water and wastewater projects in Alaska Native villages, where thousands of homes still lack running water and residents have to haul their waste in buckets. And yet the budget also says the president is providing robust funding for critical water infrastructure. Murkowski says an Alaska village can't compete with places like Flint, Michigan in federal programs because an agency is likely to apply a simple cost-benefit analysis.
When you do that, Alaska always loses because our costs are high and the numbers of people that you're serving are low.
EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt met with Murkowski before his confirmation vote. She says he understands the need to fund Alaska Village water projects because he raised the issue with her.
So we're going to keep him to his word on that. Too important.
Murkowski serves on the Senate Appropriations Committee, and she chairs the subcommittee that writes the EPA budget. She points out that the cabinet secretaries are still assembling their teams. She says this budget may have been written by people who aren't familiar with all the programs.
And if you don't know exactly what they do and how helpful or beneficial they are, it might be really easy to say, well, we'll just get rid of that one. We'll just take that one off the books. We'll zero it out for now until somebody says otherwise. And my sense is that that's some of what we're dealing with right now.
Murkowski is also reminding her staff that the 53-page document the White House released isn't even the president's real budget. The fuller version is expected in late April. Of the things she likes, Murkowski named the increase in spending to restore military forces, which she says may mean the 425 Brigade Combat Team at J-Bear will be kept whole. Senator Dan Sullivan, in a written statement, praised the increase in defense spending, but said some of the budget cuts fall too heavily on rural communities. Alaska Congressman Don Young issued a statement, too, and he put it bluntly. This budget isn't going anywhere. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Meanwhile, in Alaska's budget process, a state Senate panel wants to eliminate funding for most public broadcasting. That puts it in conflict with the House and the governor, both of whom want to keep those finances flat. Governor Bill Walker's budget proposal spends about $3.5 million on public broadcasting. That includes radio, TV, and ARCS, a rural satellite television channel. Walker's proposal to fund public broadcasting made it through the House budget process, but a Senate Finance Committee panel cut most of that money last week. Senator Bert Stedman, a Republican from Sitka, says that's evidence of the split between lawmakers living on the road system and those representing smaller communities.
The rural guys, we like it. I mean, Southeast, Kodiak, Western Alaska, you know, pick your spot. If there's a national disaster, getting some of the local news, it's very critical, but it's a target.
State funding is a significant part of most stations' budgets, including KUCB. It also leverages federal funds, which most stations would lose if the state cut passed. The defunding proposal will now go before the full Senate Finance Committee before heading to the chamber floor. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.